Father, I thank you as always that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. I pray, Lord, that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Christ, to open our understanding, even the eyes of our understanding, to be enlightened, so that we may know the hope of your calling, and so that we may enjoy the riches of your glory. We pray that we may understand the exceeding greatness of your power that you have given to us. And as we go through the word of God, open up our understanding, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4. Today, our subtitle, and I think this is going to be so valuable, our subtitle for today's lesson, as you could see it in the room, is Entering into God's Rest, the True Sabbath. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about what the Sabbath is and what the rest of God is and all that. And then towards the end of the chapter, it's going to go into a bit of Christ's priesthood. So maybe we'll put that today or lump it into chapter 5. We'll see how the Lord directs. But let's get started. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Well, you say, how can you start a chapter like that? Because in the previous chapter, it was talking about, and we covered this extensively yesterday, that they couldn't enter into his rest because of unbelief. So actually, let me read from Hebrews chapter 3, you know, just to give us some context and roll it into chapter 4. Remember, the original writer of these scripts, they didn't necessarily divide them into chapters like this. So sometimes you have to get it from the previous chapter to flow into the next. So let's talk about the rest that they should have, they should have received, which they didn't. And he said it was grieved with them 40 years. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Hebrews chapter 3:17. We covered this extensively yesterday. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter into his rest? Was it not to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now goes to chapter 4 and say, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering in to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, just like those people came short of it. So this is a stern warning and an exhortation. Let's take heed so we don't come short of entering into his rest like those people did. Well, we're going to be talking more about that rest in just a bit. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So right away we see, if we are to unpack that verse, we'll see that, yeah, the powerful word may be preached, revelations may be given from the word of God through teaching, but unless it is mixed with faith in the hearer of the word or hearers, then it's not going to profit them anything. The word of God itself is valid, it's viable, and may carry revelation and power, but it only works if it's mixed with faith in our hearts. So we see that from this verse. Now, for we which have believed, verse 3, do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And then again in this place, if they shall enter into my rest. So it looks like there is still some rest that God is referring to in the future. It says, seeing therefore that there remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, then it means that there remaineth a rest for the people of God. Hallelujah. Now, I jumped straight to verse 9 there. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Verses 7 and 8 are kind of like parenthetical. You might put it in parentheses. Again, he limited a certain day, and David said, today, after you a long time, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. We talked about this yesterday. And if Jesus would have given him the rest, well, this Jesus here should have been translated Hosea or Joshua. Had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? But he said that there remaineth a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, so that any man, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. How do you labor in order to enter into rest? So that sounds like something that's contradictory. Walk in order to enter into the rest. Labor is actually means strive to enter into that rest. So this is the first part of this chapter, and I'm going to go back and break it down by the grace of God. We're talking about a number of things here. We're talking about the main thing here is, how do people enter into God's rest? That's a rest that God promised. And he promised these people rest, you know, to bring them out of their travails, which they had suffered for over 400 years in Egypt. And he was going to bring them out and give them rest, bring them into a promised place of rest. A beautiful land flowing with milk and honey, we are told, a land where they would have rest, you know, from all the turmoil and everything that had happened to them in the previous generations. But they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, when we hear about rest here, we also have to think about Sabbath. Because people over the years and down through the ages, we've always talked about this Sabbath, that God rested on the seventh day from his works, which the scripture also tells us that. And we know that. And so, let me take a little bit of time and talk about the Sabbath before I talk about the true rest that God gives. So the title of this room is Entering into God's Rest, the True Sabbath. Now let's understand the Sabbath that was given, the laws of Sabbath that were given to the children of Israel. And let's see how they apply to our day. And then let's see what, you know, what is God's true Sabbath now for God's people? You know, so let's go back to the Old Testament. And many places where God commanded this law of the Sabbath for the people. To keep the Sabbath holy and so on. We know that even when Moses, when he first received the law, in Exodus 20, and God began to tell him multiple things, you know, for that the people needed to do, and gave him the commandments and so forth. It says in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. This is Exodus 20 and verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant or maidservant, thy cattle or thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So, I mean, a lot was said in this Sabbath. I mean, about this Sabbath, if you look at this giving of these Ten Commandments, some of them were said briefly, but this one, he took time to even explain it. And in the other ones, I just said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not do this. I mean, he just said it briefly and dropped it and moved on to the next one. But this one spent quite a bit of time talking about this Sabbath. You know, so 7 days, the Lord described this, what we now call a week. He said, 6 days you walk, 7 day is a Sabbath unto the Lord. You may not do any work in it. So the Jews had this thing, you know, this law with them. And there are many other places where it talks about Sabbath and gives them the laws of the Sabbath. In fact, these Jews had so many laws, so many feasts that they had to keep, and so on and so forth. Now let's look at some of these things that relate to the Sabbath, because this is a teaching, right? So let's look at some of these things that relate to the Sabbath in other places where he expounded on some of these things. But what I want to show you today is that whereas in our day, people identify Sunday as the Sabbath, there's even a religion or a group of people that are called Seventh-day Adventists that are sticklers to the point that the Sabbath is on the Saturday, just like it was for the Jews, and that Sunday, the first day of the week, the Sabbath is the end of the week, and so on and so forth. And they formed a whole denomination after that. Well, because of all of that, some people say Sabbath is the day of worship and this and that. Well, I'm going to come to that in a minute. But let me first deal with the Sabbath and look at all the, you know, I'm going to show you certain things from the scriptures that these Jews, they had many Sabbaths. It wasn't even just one Sabbath. Yes, the Lord started out by giving them that one about the seventh day initially. But there's many more Sabbaths that they had. So let's take a look at some of them. Let's turn to Leviticus. This is a Bible class. You know, so I'm going to have to show you the scriptures. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 16. You know, for instance, we'll read three verses there from verse 29. This is Leviticus 16 and 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, whatever that month is for the Jews, on the 10th day of the month, so that's the 10th day of the seventh month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no working at all, whether it be of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth with you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you. Now, and ye shall afflict your souls, and so on and so forth. Now, so he's talking about this 10th day of the seventh month. And we know that the Jewish calendar is different. Now, we have a calendar, we have the Gregorian calendar. You have all of these. There's also, you know, a group that's called ISO standards, you know, that make a lot of standards for many, many different things that people have adopted in the Western world over many years. They even have a calendar. You know, that calendar starts from, you know, Monday through Sunday, you know. Now, here typically in the United States and other places, some people actually start from Sunday through Saturday. You know, it's a week. So, you know, which one is the seventh day then and so on. But here, he's even talking about the 10th day of the seventh month. Now, the 10th day of the seventh month is not always going to fall on the same weekday. The only way that a day will always fall on the same weekday is every month would have to have exactly 28 days. And then, you know, all the days, the first day will, on the next month, will fall on the same day of the week as the previous month, and so on and so forth. But when the months, even the Jewish calendar, they didn't even have 28 days. They actually had 29 or 30 days. And they had to make some adjustments here and there. So I'm not going to go into all of that. But you can research it yourself. But at the end of the day, we generalize it for 30 days for the children of Israel's calendar. At 30 days a month, the 10th day of the seventh month will not fall always on the same day of the week. So what day is it that we're going to pick for the Sabbath? That's one thing. Let's jump to Leviticus 23. In this whole chapter of Leviticus 23, the Lord, and well, Moses gave them so many things about Sabbaths and different things all over the place. I mean, it's all over the place. So let me just bring out some of these things. We start at Leviticus 23. You can read the whole chapter. Let me pick it up at verse 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month. See now. So, the one we read before said the seventh month on the 10th day. This one now says, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath. So now we see there's a Sabbath again on the first day of the seventh month. You know, so the one we read in Leviticus 16 was the 10th day of the seventh month. All right. So you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. Now, this is a different feast, you know, that they are doing here. It's called a holy convocation. You will not do any survey work and so forth, have an offering by fire. Also on that 10th day of the seventh month, which is what we read before, it shall be a day of atonement. We read that already in Leviticus 16. And so on and so forth. So you go through that one. Now, so we've seen the first day of the seventh month. We've seen the 10th day of the seventh month. Let's take a look at some other ones here. Now, verse 32. Verse 32 of this says, you know, that it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even unto even. It shall be for you to celebrate your Sabbath. Now, that's the 10th day I was talking about. Because their days start from the evening to evening. So, from the evening of the ninth day to the next day evening is actually the 10th day. So, this is what he's talking about here. Then you go on to verses 38. To 39. And then he says, well, besides the Sabbaths of the Lord. So it looks like it's plural Sabbaths. And beside your gifts and beside all your vows and all your freewill offerings which the Lord shall give you, there's also the 15th day of the seventh month. And when you shall have gathered the fruit of the land and all of these things, you shall keep a feast starting from the 15th day. You keep the feast for 7 days. The first day of that feast of 7 days, which is the 15th day, shall be for you a Sabbath. And then fast forward for a whole week, because you're going to keep it for a whole week. Then the day after the week is called the 8th day, is also a Sabbath. I mean, so there's Sabbaths all over the place. I mean, it's just all over the place. But today, so we try to pick one day as the day of Sabbath. Which day are you going to pick? I mean, as we see all these Sabbaths all over the place. Now, let me deal with a myth right away and first of all dismiss that one. Some people think that there is a day of, that Sabbath is the day of worship. Well, there's no such thing in the scriptures. Worship is every day. Sabbath was a day of rest. That's actually what it means. So it wasn't a day of worship. It is a myth to think that it's a day of worship. Now, like I said, a whole congregation have carved their thing around, well, we must worship on Saturday because that's the day of Sabbath. Fine. So worship on Saturday for all I care. You can worship on Tuesday. You can worship on Wednesday. Actually, we should worship the Lord every day. You know, so Sabbath was never intended to be some day carved away for worship. Now, it turned out that traditionally, the people went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day because, you know, well, they didn't have anything else to do. So they come into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. But God didn't command them to say, all these scriptures we have read, he didn't say on that day you worship the Lord. He said on that day you rest, you know, and you do all these things. So God wanted, you know, people to even have physical rest. You know, now if people don't have physical rest, those of you who are in, you know, the medical, you know, fields and so forth, there will be mental burnout, not only physical burnout, but that can also be mental burnout. So God always wants us to rest. He's talking about physical rest, but I'm going to talk about spiritual rest in a minute. But, you know, this physical rest versus rest versus day of worship, people have confused it. So let me focus on the day of rest, which is what the scripture said. Now, let's not call it day of worship. But even though it was supposed to be their day of rest and they're supposed to do no Sabbath work in it, which means don't do any hard labor and all these things, people generally went into the synagogue for, you know, to hear the words of, to hear the scriptures read, to hear something or to do something. You know, they did that on, you know, it was traditionally they did that. And Jesus, he followed the same tradition. Many times he would go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day because the people gathered there. And then he would do something. So let's take a look about all the things that Jesus did on the Sabbath day, which the Jews, the Sanhedrin, they challenged him and accused him of breaking the law. There are many scriptures here in the Gospels, and I'm going to read a few of them, but I want to go through them quickly. Many of them. And most of the time, it seemed as if Jesus just disregarded that and did all these things. I mean, let's pick up some of these stories. Mark chapter 2. In the book of Mark chapter 2, from verses 23 to about 28, there is a story there of someone that Jesus healed. And it turned out that it was on the Sabbath day. And there are many cases like this, and I'm going to bring some of them out and see how the Jews reacted because of Jesus doing things on the Sabbath day. And even some of the things that Jesus's disciples did. You know, this particular one was not the one that Jesus healed somebody. This was the one that his disciples did on the Sabbath day. You know, this one in Mark 2. So it came to pass, he said in verse 23, that Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. And his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. Now, you don't do this. You don't go out on the Sabbath day and go into a field and, you know, plucking corn. You do that the day before. You got a 2 days work the day before, so you don't have to do that kind of thing on the Sabbath day. This is what the Jews. So it's Judaism 101. You got to learn that. So they accuse Jesus, you know, why do they do on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And instead of Jesus answering that question, he posed himself another question to them. Have you never read what David did when he had need and he was hungry And this is how I with him. How he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the priest, high priest, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, but for the priest, and also gave to them that were with him. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We're talking about Sabbath here. You're talking about David eating bread. You know, so, but Jesus is trying to show the people here that, look, all these things about something is not lawful or something is lawful. Jesus even giving testimony about David breaking a sacred, I mean, something that was a sacrament to these people, a very sacred, you know, nobody other than the priests ate the showbread. But David said, give me the bread. It's a common bread, you know, and all that. And not only did he eat it, he gave it to his disciples. I mean, the people that were with him, the soldiers and stuff. So Jesus now said, therefore, he said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath, which means as the Lord of the Sabbath, he could do anything he wanted. Because the Sabbath was for him and not the other way around. Now, this is powerful stuff, folks. And we need to pay attention to it as we go through these next scriptures. You know, it looks as if Jesus just, you know, threw away this Sabbath thing. But hold on now. Let's not jump to any conclusions. You know, let's read a few more of this, you know, instances here in the Bible. Matthew chapter 12. Verses 1 to 8 is a very similar, you know, similar thing to this one that we just read, you know. So, and Jesus said the same thing here. But in this place, he brought out something else. Matthew recorded something that Mark did not record. And I want to read it to you here. You know, Jesus already said the same thing here. How have you never read what David did, how he went to, you know, the house of God and so forth and all that? And he says, or have you, this is the additional thing that Matthew brought in here, which Mark did not put in. Or have you not read in the law, is Matthew bringing this in now, how that on the Sabbath days, the priests that are in the temple, they profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Why are you now challenging me? Even your own priests in the law, they do things. And I'm going to show you some other things too that they break on the Sabbath day. He said, but in this place, there is one greater than the temple. But if only you have known what this meant, I will have mercy. So there's a big secret being brought out of his revelation, which Mark didn't bring out. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, he said. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Then you would not have condemned the guiltless. So have mercy. You know, the way God deals with things is based on mercy, not just rigid sacrifice. Well, the people were following rigid sacrifice and rigid law. They didn't know any different. So Jesus is setting them straight. Now, what is Jesus doing then? I mean, Jesus said, I came not to break the law, but to fulfill it. I mean, why does it seem like he's throwing this thing? I mean, just throwing this thing out. Well, let's read a few stories more. This is important so that I'm taking my time on this. Luke chapter 13. Let's read another story. This is the story of the woman that Jesus set free, a woman thou art loosed. Luke chapter 13. Let's pick it from verse 10. And Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Remember, the people used to gather in the Sabbaths. And behold, there was a woman there which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. She was bowed together and could no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus called her, saw her, he called her unto him and said, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Whoo! Glory to God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Listen to this. Because that Jesus had healed this woman on the Sabbath day. And he said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to walk. In those 6 days, come to the synagogue and be healed. But not on the Sabbath day, Can you see the hardness of the hearts of these people? You know, they didn't care about, there was no concern. I mean, no rejoicing that somebody was set free. They had no concern about those things. All they wanted was keep the law, keep the law, keep the law. And they didn't even understand the law. And so Jesus said unto him, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day lose his ox or ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? You know, if you do that for your donkey on a Sabbath day, and you don't want him to die of thirst because you don't want to wait a whole day, you know, until the after the Sabbath, you still lead him away and give him, you know, water. If you do that on the Sabbath day, ought not then this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed? Hallelujah. On this Sabbath day, seeing that Satan has bound her all these 18 years. You know, so they had nothing else to say after Jesus said that. Let's look at a few more examples quickly. Luke chapter 14, in this next chapter. Here's another one. And Jesus will talk to them now about, you know, when their donkey will fall into the pit. You know, so here's another one. Jesus also, on the Sabbath day, he went somewhere, right? He said, it came to pass, he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on Sabbath day. But they invited him. So he went. And everybody watched him. They said, what is he going to do now? So, you know, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy, you know, and so this man, you know, was drawn out, things falling out of his mouth and all kinds of things. You know, he had a spirit of infirmity. And so Jesus answered to the lawyers and Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Because everybody's watching him to see what he would do. And they held their peace. So Jesus healed the man and let him go. Then he said unto them, which of you having an ass or donkey that falls into a pit will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? Are you going to leave him there just because it's Sabbath? Leave him in the pit for the whole day? Now, if you pull your donkey out of the pit on the Sabbath day and don't care that it's Sabbath day, you know, why are you grieved that I'm healing these things on the Sabbath day, healing people on the Sabbath day? So they said nothing else after that. Let's read a few more stories. You know, these ones are even more dramatic. John chapter 5, this story that Jesus healed this man that was at the pool on the Sabbath. It turned out it was the Sabbath day. You know, so let's read the story from John chapter 5. Let's look at verse 14. Jesus found the man in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto you. You know, so the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Now, therefore, Jesus was persecuted by the Jews, and they sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. We didn't know until that point that it was the Sabbath day. But it was the Sabbath day. And Jesus didn't care that it was the Sabbath day. He was more concerned about delivering somebody from their sickness. But according to the Jews, you cannot do that on the Sabbath day. So they are, you know, they were trying to persecute him. And Jesus revealed something here and said, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. Powerful revelation here. He did not explain it, but what it means is this. Up until now, my Father has not taken a break. So he's still walking, and so I am walking. If he shows me a good walk to do, I do it. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is. Now, some people thought that God has stopped walking since the seventh day that he rested. Jesus is saying, no. My Father is still walking until now. And whatever he shows me to do, I do the same. You know, and that's it. And he doesn't care what day of the week it is. So they sought to kill him even more, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he was also saying that God was his Father, making himself God. So the Jews understood that. But told them, look, as the Son of Man, the Son of God, I can't do anything except what my Father shows me. Let's look at John chapter 7. I want to show you these things quickly. John chapter 7, verses 22 to 23. This is important. That's why I'm taking my time and giving you all these references, because after this, I hope everybody will get the understanding. John chapter 7, we read it from, verse 23. But let me read from verse 22. Moses gave you the circumcision, the commandment of circumcision, not because it was of Moses, but it was of the fathers, because that was given even to Abraham. And he on the Sabbath day circumcised a man. Now, the Jews' law was that on the eighth day, a male child had to be circumcised. On the eighth day, that's it. Now, if that eighth day fell on the Sabbath day, they are not going to wait until the next day to do it. They still have to do it, whether it falls on the Sabbath day or not. The law was, on the eighth day, you circumcise the male child. So on that eighth day, they're going to circumcise the male child. And they may not be the one to circumcise the child. They may have to take the child somewhere for circumcision. So they will do that on the Sabbath day if that eighth day of the birth, from the birth of the child fell on the Sabbath day. They wouldn't care. They would do it anyway. So Jesus is saying, look, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision so that the law of Moses should not be broken, why are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Now judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now Jesus is showing so many things here, but in so many ways, Jesus is choosing doing good works on the Sabbath day over not doing anything at all. You can see so many of these examples. And all the good works that Jesus did on the Sabbath day was all over the place. And he did all these things. Now, there is a rest. Let me throw this in before I tell you what the real Sabbath for God's people should be. There is a physical rest that God wants us to take. I already mentioned that earlier when I said this Sabbath was for rest, not for worship. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus spoke of physical rest. He even encouraged his disciples to do that. He said to them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure, not even so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. This is where people came up with retreat. This is the retreat thing. So they went to a place and had their retreat. And Jesus was the one that recommended it. There are times, when you are too busy, up and down, can't even eat, you have no rest. Jesus said, look, get away from it all and take some rest. So Jesus is always offering that, but what other rests does Jesus offer? Now, he commanded us, he instructed them here to take some physical rest. Now, that's something you have to do yourself. If you don't give yourself rest, how is God going to give you rest? You have the choice. You have the power to say no. We've covered that when we did our wisdom series. And there are times that you must say no in order for you to get some rest. You don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to be the one to do everything from morning till night, every single day. Sometimes you got to chill. And mothers, especially, are so prone to burnout in this area. But they've got to do all these things, especially if they are also working and raising young children. It's amazing the things they have to go through. They've got to take care of their husband, take care of the children, and, imagine if they also have to work and have to do all these things. And they can be very easily burnt out. And when they are burnt out and they stress out, then things are not going to work out. anybody is under stress like that, whether a woman or man, could be all kinds of things may start happening. React badly to situations and so on and so forth. And Jesus said, look, take time out and rest and replenish yourself. Why would you be burnt out for no reason? So that's physical rest. But Jesus also offered us not only physical rest, but he offered us a different kind of rest as well, which I want to get into now. In Matthew chapter 11, Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, this rest is the true Sabbath that God offers us now in the New Testament. Take my yoke upon you. You know, so you're heavy laden. We've covered this, right, in this room. All the tactics that the devil brings in the oppressing spirits, in his spiritual wickedness, in the heavy burdens and in the yokes and so forth. And the plan of failure to say, let there be more burden laden upon them. Because they are idle. They are idle. That's why they say they want to go serve the Lord. Add more burden to them. Give them more problems. Give them more hours that they need to work on their job. Give them more bills they have to pay. Give them more exams they have to take. Do all of these things. Make their life hard. Keep put burden on them so they will not have time to say, I want to serve the Lord. And that's a tactic. We know that. We've exposed that in this room. I said it in case you didn't hear it when we said it. So that's a tactic that the devil uses. But Jesus said, look, if you're a victim of all of that, you know, the scriptures say it is vain for you to rise up early, stay up late in order to eat the bread of affliction. You got to work 2, 3, 4, 5 jobs, you know, just to make ends meet. And when you get all that money, you put in a bag of holes, because bag of holes means there's too many problems. Everything you're earning, you have to use it to run after doctor's bills and this, or fix something in the house that's broken, or some relative, or this. I mean, this thing just, something just siphons all of that. And so it's a vicious cycle. You're just going through this thing, earning this money, but you're not able to really keep it and enjoy it for yourself. Whereas the scripture says, look, for a man to enjoy the, you know, blessings of all his labor, it's the gift of God. But you can't really enjoy it because you've got a bag of holes sucking you dry, and you got to work 2, 3, 4, 5 jobs. And Jesus said, look, come unto me if you are a victim of all of that. You are laboring and you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, don't try to figure out how he will give you rest. Just come to him. He will do it. You got to come to him. Now, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Well, learn of him. He called his disciples aside to take rest. You know, so learn that it's times you have to take rest. There was a time he went into the boat and went and slept. Learn of him. You know, Jesus was already, in one way that he was able to sleep or was going to sleep through that storm was he was prayed up. He was prayed up, so he wasn't going to panic in the face of some apparent storm. He knew the storm would come and pass because he said, let's go to the other side. So, he's going to sleep through the storm. That was his intention. That's the kind of rest that Jesus will give. Peace, what he's called the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, chapter 6. The peace that Jesus gives, is it only the absence of trouble? Now, peace can be defined as the absence of trouble. So, you know, that's peace, rest. The Bible says that God gave some of the kings of Israel rest in their days. Solomon was one. He had rest in all his days. He had no wars like his father did. Asa was another. God gave him rest for 15 years all around. I mean, God gave them rest. We covered the story of Asa before in this room. I mean, so they just have rest, you know. And that's one kind of peace and rest when you don't have trouble on any side, you know. And I thank God that in my life now, I've got peace and rest, you know. Because I don't have troubles anywhere. So thank God for that. And some of you do too. Now, but that's not the only definition for peace. The peace that God even offers is even in the midst of trouble, you still have rest and calmness. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, thou will keep in perfect peace. And that means rest. There's no turbulence for the man whose heart is stayed on you. So that's what Jesus is saying. Come unto me. Stay your heart on me. Learn from me. I'll give you rest from all your troubles. Hallelujah. Now, when he offers that rest to us, He offers even physical rest. He offers mental rest, emotional rest. All of this is wrapped up in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through the end that we read there. It's all wrapped up in there. And even physical rest, you know, when people die, some people say that, you know, they're resting. You know, some people say, may their soul rest in peace. Well, I don't know about that personally. You know, their soul will only rest in peace if they made the connection while they were alive. God never told us to be praying for the dead. You know, every time people say, may their soul rest in peace, I don't say it. Because if your soul is going to rest in peace, it's going to rest in peace. That prayer is useless if they did not give their life to Christ. It's not a dishonoring of them, but it's a useless prayer. You know, if they died, they didn't give their life to Christ, their soul is not going to rest in peace. So there's no, you can say rest in peace all you want. It's not going to happen. The only way for their soul to rest in peace is for them to have trusted the Lord during their life, you know, and giving their life to the Lord. And then their soul will rest in peace. You know, Revelation chapter 14, you know, verses 13 will tell you that. You know, so let's not be saying rest in peace for those who are not even believers. How are they going to rest in peace? There's no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord. They can't rest in peace. You know, and again, I heard a voice that said, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. See, when they die in the Lord, he said, you know, they will rest from their labors. Hallelujah. And their works do follow them. And if they did not die in the Lord, they are not going to rest in peace. So let's, all of you who are in this room, stop saying the rest in peace to those that did not die in the Lord. They will not rest in peace. If you want them to rest in peace, then preach to them while they were still alive. Work hard to get them saved while they are still alive. That's how they are going to rest in peace. If they cross that bridge and they did not give their lives to Christ, they are lost, unfortunately, and they cannot rest in peace. But they can rest in peace if they die in the Lord. They will rest from their labors, but they have to die in the Lord. That's Revelation 14 and verse 13. What then is the true Sabbath? You know, seeing that, you know, the Jews had multiple Sabbaths, which day are we going to pick? I've already thrown that one out. There's not one day that you can pick. I've shown so many days. They have 15 days, 7th day, this day, that day. Which day are you going to pick? Forget that one. And then it's not even the day of worship, because God never said that. You know, people made that up in their heads. You're supposed to worship the Lord every day. Jesus said it himself. God is spirit, and they that, you know, worship him are worshiping in spirit and in truth. Not only on Sabbath day, you know, but every day. Hallelujah. Now, but what day then should we pick? Are we commanded in the New Testament as New Testament believers, you know, to observe some day over another? Well, let's read a few scriptures and then I'll finish it up with what the true Sabbath is. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Paul is going to lay some arguments here and tell the people, and then, you know, everybody in this room, is for us as well. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day, whether one day is holy or not, of the new moon, of the Sabbath days. And Sabbath days, plural. You notice he put it in plural because they had many. These things are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. And as a matter of fact, I'm not subject to the laws of Judaism. Why should I even care about those things? All these feasts of this and so. There are some believers today, I've met a few, who are still trying to live, you know, like that. You know, and they say, oh, you know, it's the feast of this. It's Yom Kippur. It's this and that. And so we got to celebrate. Am I a Jew? You know, well, maybe spiritually, yes, because I'm of the commonwealth of the household of faith. But I'm not bound by the laws of Judaism. Why should I follow that? Some people even say, oh, unless you read the Bible in the Hebrew, you cannot be saved. Can you imagine that? I've actually heard people say that. You know, why should I read the Bible in the Hebrew? Am I a Hebrew? You know, I'm going to read the Bible in whatever language I understand. You know, so, you know, why should I go read the Bible in the Hebrew if I'm not a Hebrew? Well, I don't know Hebrew. Maybe I do, but I don't have to know Hebrew. Hallelujah. So, you know, Jesus, he gives us these revelations today. You know, Paul even challenged Peter at one time. If thou being a Jew, he said, do not live as the Jew, but you live after the manner of Gentiles. You know, why are you now trying to make the Gentiles live as the Jews? You know, so these are things that are in the scriptures and we need to, you know, learn these things. In Galatians chapter 2, let's read it quickly from verse 14 or so. When Paul was trying to teach these people that, look, don't be worried about all these things that the Jews are doing, circumcise this, circumcise that, keep this day, keep that day, and so forth. And he said, look, you know, when I even went up and I had a chance to meet, you know, some of these brethren who were before me, you know, I, you know, met even Peter. When Peter was come to Antioch, he said, verse 11 of Galatians 2, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain Jews came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And there were other Jews that dissembled likewise, insomuch that even Barnabas was my companion, carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, not, you don't have to walk according to Judaism. You know, these people were Gentiles. You know, Paul, he said, I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as Jew the Jews, why are you trying to compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews? Hallelujah. You know, so look, if you are a Jew, God bless your heart. But Judaism is not going to save any Jew. Only Christ will save them. But if you are a Gentile, we were Gentiles, but we are grafted in by the grace of God, we don't need to follow all these laws of Judaism. You know, we are not called onto that. Paul is describing many of it here, and we need to be aware of this. Let's look at also Galatians chapter 4. It's talking again to these Galatians. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. He says, well, let me read it from verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto these things which were by nature no gods. But now, he's telling them. He's telling them now. Now that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, and desire to be in bondage again? You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, he said, lest I bestowed labor upon you in vain. Now, some people observe this, and that's cool if you want to observe this, but no, there's no law for us in the New Testament now to observe this. Romans chapter 14, you know, verses 5 and 6 will tell us that. If you want to observe this, cool. Observe the days if you want. And if you don't want to observe the days, fine. Don't observe it if you don't want. you know, but, you know, let's not make any isms out of it. Romans chapter 14, verse 5 says, one man estimates one day above another. You may say the Sabbath day is great for you. Yours may be Tuesday. Yours may be all these other traditions of men, you know, that we have in the world today. I mean, some people say, oh, I'm going to observe so-called Christmas. We know Christ wasn't born on that day. If you want to observe it, that's your problem. You know, one man estimated any day alike. Every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Of course, we have to be careful not to go into, you know, the ways of the heathen. And, you know, so a lot of things crept into the, you know, tradition of the church that was brought in from paganism. We know that. But the point is this. He that regarded the day, regarded it unto the Lord. And he that regarded not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. And so on and so forth. So, but we're talking about Sabbath now, specifically. If you want to observe one day as the day of Sabbath, fine. And if you don't want to, fine. But there's no requirement for us now in the New Testament. The real Sabbath is in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is what brings us now to a place of rest. Hallelujah. And this is what Jesus confers upon us. And we get it only through Christ. We cannot get it through any other way. The peace that Jesus gives, John chapter 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Hallelujah. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. He said, but I give you a different kind of peace. I'm going to send you another comforter. A comforter is what gives you rest. You know, just like the psalmist said, you know, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. That's what the comforter does. You know, in all of our troubles, who comforted us in all our tribulations, you know, give you peace and rest. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid, because I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he came back in the Holy Spirit. He gave us this peace, this comfort, and so forth. So the true rest that Jesus is giving the elect today is in the form of what he himself offers. Hallelujah. Which is the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Salvation is God's gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to his children. Hallelujah. That's a big difference. You know, people, you know, God offers salvation to everybody. And whosoever will let him come and take of the water of life freely. You know, but when you come in, after you come in to the Lord, you have this gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there with you. We know that. Because Jesus said, the Spirit of truth, who is with you and shall be in you. So, you know, he's with you to bring you to conversion. He will later be in you to bring you to the place of rest. Hallelujah. You know, so Paul also in Acts chapter 19, passing through, you know, certain coasts, he found some disciples and says to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now that's since you believed. And these were disciples. And they said to Paul, we have not even so much as heard as whether there be any Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? And Paul was shocked. Unto what then were you baptized if you didn't hear about Holy Ghost? He said, well, unto John's baptism. I said, well, that's cool. John baptized you for repentance that you should come into Christ. But after you come into Christ, there is a different kind of baptism which Christ gives you, not the one that John gave you. They said, oh, what is that? So he explained it to them, and he laid his hands on them, and they will receive the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues and prophesy. Acts 19 and 6. Now, these were believers who are already saved, who are already baptized in water, but they had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So these are two different things. But the peace and the comfort and the rest that Jesus gives comes truly from this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Among other things, he also gives boldness for witness. But he's called the Comforter. He's the one that can give us that rest, even in the midst of problems. He's the one that can do it. So this is the true rest that Jesus is offering for us today. Ladies and gentlemen, of the things that we have spoken today, the second part of chapter 4 of Hebrews, I will do tomorrow, because it has to do with something different. You know, so we're going to, I thought I would divide this into two parts. Do this first part based on the rest, entering into God's rest, and what's the true Sabbath. That's the first part. We'll cover the second part by the grace of God tomorrow. But this first part, here is the summary. You know, the Sabbath was made for man and not the other way around. Moreover, you know, those Sabbath laws and so forth for the Jews was beyond just one day. There were so many days that we've seen. So which day are you going to pick? And you are not bound by the laws of Judaism unless you are a Jew. And that's not going to save anybody. We see Paul making those arguments, not only to the Colossians. He made those arguments to the Romans. He made the argument to the Galatians. In so many different places, he made those arguments. You know, so then, if that's not what the Sabbath is, what then is the Sabbath? Well, two things. What the Sabbath is not, and then what the Sabbath is. So this is my summaries today. The Sabbath is not a day of worship, because God never said that. It is not a day of worship, because every day is a day. We can't set one day apart. That's the reason why people don't come to midweek service. If you have midweek service, people are not going to come. If you have prayer meeting on Tuesday, people are not going to come. If you have prayer meeting on Friday, people are not going to come. But they will come on Sunday, because it's like Sunday medicine. You know, they come on Sunday, get their dose for the week, and they go away, because in their mind, that is the day of worship. It's a day of worship. And that is a myth. That is a lie from the devil that the devil has put out there to put people in, to restrict people from walking with God. Walking with God is a daily thing. We don't just come. We can't come to service on Sunday, get all pious and religious and holy and everything, jump up and down, shout the victory, and then go out Monday to Saturday and live like the devil. And then come back on Sunday again. Because this is the cycle where people think of the day of worship. Oh, on Sunday I gotta go to church. It's the day of worship. And then on Monday through Saturday, it's my time. You know, I've given to God what is God. Now I give to Caesar what's Caesar. No, God owns every day. Hallelujah. You cannot give him one day for worship. That's not going to work. You must give him every day. Love the Lord thy God with all, not some, all, you know, of your heart. You know, your heart cannot be 6 days in something else, and then one day, that's 1/7 of your heart. You come to the Lord and say, well, you know, it's my day of worship. You know, if people get rid of that mentality, they will be just as passionate to come to midweek service, Friday night Bible vigil or whatever, and all these other things that are going on throughout the week. They will be as passionate as those things if they get away from this concept of Sunday is a day of worship. I don't know where the people got that from, but that's something that was thrown down by tradition. So you get that. Let's get that out of our heads. Every day is the day of worship. Our theme in this script, in this room, our theme scripture for this room, when we started it, Leviticus 6, 12, and 13. And you will see clearly there how it says it every day. You can't just pick one day and say, oh, then the rest of the days, I do anything I want. Then I come back for another dose on Sunday. That's not going to work. The fire upon the altar shall be burning. It shall not be put out. But the priest, now, has God made us priests and kings? The priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order. They shall burn their fat and so forth. The fire shall be ever burning, shall never go out. So don't let the fire go out Monday through Saturday. And then we put on, you know, something. No, the breastplates of, you know, that these people were, that had the ephod and the Urim and Thummim, they were supposed to never take it off. And not to take it off. It should be there every day. It's a day of worship. Hallelujah. So now that we know that every day is a day of worship and not just Sunday, may the Lord give us the grace to be more passionate on for other things of the Lord throughout the week and not just Sundays. Well, I thank God for everyone that's coming into this room. We're doing it daily, and you guys are coming daily. You're not waiting only until Sunday. You know, so in a way, you guys have already mastered that. So we thank God for that. But let's carry it throughout the day. You know, so Sabbath is not a day of worship. But what is it then? I said I will say what it is not, and then what it is. I've said what it is not. It's not a day of worship. It is a day of rest. And that day for the children of Israel was a physical day that God told them to carve out a day here and there. It started out with one day a week. Then it went to certain days of certain months where they could do this and that and, you know, sacrifice this and bring this, you know, offering for this convocation and this and that. But today, if you will hear his voice, while it is called today, every day is today. Did you know that we can never be in tomorrow? Think about that. You'll never be in tomorrow. Every day while you hear his voice, harden not your heart. We covered that yesterday. One day, a few years ago, well, actually many years ago, with a friend, it was getting close to midnight. And they said, oh, you know, and they looked at their watch. Oh, we'll soon be in tomorrow. Or we're not yet in tomorrow. I forget how they said it. And I said, no, you'll never be in tomorrow. I said, what do you mean? It's a few minutes and we'll be in tomorrow. I said, no, you'll never be in tomorrow. Because when you cross into midnight, it will still be today. It's always today. Today, you may think it's tomorrow. But when you get there, it'll be today. It's always today. You can never be in tomorrow. So let's not put off until tomorrow the worship of God that we should give him today. It's always today. Today. Hallelujah. Is the day of salvation. It is today. There's no other day. Say, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Don't put off for till tomorrow or anything like that what you can do for the Lord today. Because we do not have promise of another day. So now is the day of salvation. Glory to God. Now, today is the day of worship. Now is the accepted time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. In an acceptable time, he said, I've heard you. What is that acceptable time? Now. And what is that day of salvation? Today. Now is the day. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of worship. Now is the time for worship. May the Lord give us understanding in all these things. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the lesson for chapter 4. part 1. We'll cover chapter 4, part 2 tomorrow by the grace of God. This is the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the study of the book of Hebrews, and today was chapter 4. Father, I thank you as always for the spirit of revelation and wisdom in the knowledge of your word. And thank you for sharing from your word. And thank you for the grace to be able to share your word with your people. We pray, Lord, that you will expand it into our hearts and bless everyone by even other words that we will hear coming up shortly. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Well, praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the room. That's my segment. Now it's your segment to share what came to mind as you listened to the lesson. Remember, Holy Spirit will always give you even more than what the speaker is speaking when you are engaging in the Spirit. And so if you did, well, let's hear from you and share your thoughts, share your reaction to the today's lesson, and share from your heart what the Lord gave you while you were listening, so that we all may be blessed. Hear a little, there a little. Line upon line, preset upon preset. That which every joint supplieth, so that the body may make of together increase into the Lord, unto the Lord.